making a case against the full generation of fees. So now seems to be moving from a vague hope to a mere commitment. While it has some appeal to a war where people are serious dangers in it. Versus for present place in history, we only have partial control over whether we'll win the war again. By making the statement about this is our last war, the president is leading some dictator or communist government to make a fool of him by limited aggression against one of our treaty allies. Sure, but the impact on our on those who are our allies. The last war statement may turn out to be a Chamberlain's piece for our time, promising something which we alone cannot deliver. What is really worried about, which is it tends to induce a sense of serenity and calm and even complacency among the American people, which hardly seems justified by the situation, and is certain to undercut our own arguments for more dollars for strategic independence. It's contributing ourselves to the ongoing psychological disarmament of the American people, which is a major obstacle to getting the dollars needed to maintain parity. He's got a point, but it's you gotta keep both things going.
You see, the Buchanan problem, Buchanan's...
He oversimplifies.
Well, he doesn't oversimplify. He states actually what the facts are. But he's not aware. He would follow Buchanan's advice. He's a purist. And he says, well, what is the truth? You just told me the truth. You told the American people the truth all around the hills. I mean, they are.
Well, that's what I mean by oversimplifying.
They've got to have some hope. That we're doing something, that we're accomplishing something.
Especially at this point.
And also, the other thing about the Lenin, you can't insult us, therefore, you've not even read the interview, but you've read it carefully. But what it simply said was that as far as the United States was concerned, being turned in major.
You talked about major wars. You said there would be brush fire wars.
I said there will be brush fire wars.
You said there wasn't brush fire use in
the term. Did I use the word there would be? That we couldn't control, I said, what could happen in Africa and Asia.
Yeah.
Other parts of the world, I understood that.
No, this would be our last war, and then you said
it may well be. But what are you going to tell them? There's going to be another one.
I think you've got to say that. And I don't think it fits in a peace for our time kind of thing at all.
See,
because it fits in a totally different posture.
Thanks also in terms of a more warlike posture.
I think what's bothering him is defense policy, the posture, you know, the says at the end, the psychological disarmament of the American people. I think he wants to crank them up. I think he can and probably will have to, but you've got to get over this hill before you can go back up and down.
You've got to get over the hill of Vietnam first off.
That's it. You are going to crank the American people up to arm at this point.
You can't crank them up to go fight someplace else right now. That's all there is to it. Like Israel, huh? Is that where we're going to fight? We're not going to fight that stuff. There's going to be one in the Soviet, because they aren't that long anymore.
The ring is by the whole American participation, of course,
the whole proposition, too, of the last war, of the whole generation of peace, is based on the assumption that America must maintain the strength to deter the war. See, that's the other problem.
Which goes to your whole thesis of the Newport speech. And this past going to work on the redo of the Newport thing for Dole, and doing that may help him out of this this concern too, because it builds the other thesis.
I must say though, the full generation of peace is one of the few things that has been repeated back to us.
We've got
to what does any member of the staff come up with? Do you know of anything except the new priorities of
gotta do it.
I think you gotta keep talking about something, don't you?
Yeah.
I even think the new American Revolution, I think, is sure the press is gonna give us much, but keep
it that way. And you gotta, I think, every time you talk about domestic, you gotta throw that on that. It's been bought, it's been accepted, but it needs to be driven home.
It's been accepted as being a revolutionary proposal.
Yeah.
Now, call it what you will.
They jumped on us for overselling it, but nobody's arguing that it isn't a revolutionary, that the sweep of it was a revolutionary.
Well, it's to keep everybody basically our own staff and cabinet team and so forth. It got through. Bob Franklin not being knocked off balance by the temporary, you know, things that go up and down and so forth. And these things are not too good. I'm not sure.
There's even sent him to interview me on it this time. But I think that, you know, his thinking is kind of interesting.
You might point out, why don't you have Henry talk to Pat on these terms and say, look,
yeah,
what we're really talking about is that we've got to set a goal. The American people have got to set a goal. And the goal is that the way to have a whole generation of peace is to end this war in a way that doesn't the war in Russia and to keep America's strength. That's what we're
really saying. The point is your goal can't be to be strong. Your goal has got to be strong.
Our goal has got to be peace. See, the past would chat with what and say, the way to avoid peace, is, the way to have peace is to fight a war. Or be ready to fight a war. Well, we can't say that quite anymore.
That's right, but it isn't the right way to think.
It won't quite work at this point, Bob. It's the money that's in Japan, the psychologists.
On the other hand, I don't think you're going to have any trouble selling the maintenance of a strong defense posture.
Particularly if it's for peace.
Yeah. That you get out of fighting the war and then go for strengthening defensive capability.
Ask Colson to come on.
Would you ask Chuck Colson to come into Brown's office, please?
Instead of trying to make a point to John, I'm sure you can see both he and George have gotten out. They don't need therapy. They've got to bring people in for their meetings because most of them agree that they discuss it. It'll take us only 15 minutes longer to meet. Do not require. They don't bother me enough that I don't get shit into the room. You know what I mean? So let them all come in. Don't you agree? I think it's good to have a little gaggle in here. You see, now on, like I said, the defense reason you can't do it. Because they're just too damn confidential, a lot of this stuff. I don't want people to know the news. I don't want to talk in front of a lot of people.
Certainly, you can't.
There, I'd
be good at running Hague.
Hague, you
have to reach out to bring Hague against them. Not for therapy, because he doesn't need to come there,
but that's all right.
It's just good to get to have it trying.
Probably.
Thursday night, I believe. I understand the county has some of that in.
Fortunately, you're talking to John Church. You don't have to promise you have to be able to face it. They don't mind bringing other people in. They don't certainly share anything with Henry.
I think they'd like to. And John
Church helps out their job. Except there are some things they want to, you know, send. They want to raise with you and get set up without you. When I say a good way, in the best way, is that you have good, competent staff men who are totally honest and objective. They'll give you the points like he did here on this Schlesinger thing. Now, I could have the whole group in here. Harlow would have spoken for 20 minutes about what ought to happen, and Morton would have babbled around and so forth, and I got it done in 10 minutes. Just as well, came up exactly.
John suggested this stuff this morning. He bring Harlow in and report on it. And I said, why don't you just come in and talk to him? He used to see Harlow and come home.
No use.
It'll save an hour. What I said was, it'll save an hour.
Well, I thought that Harlow said that I would have known him. And I know what he can say, that Gordon Allen is important. That Gordon Allen is a crybaby. He's always a crybaby. It'd be worse if you don't do this. I would recommend you do it. He taken heart and told me that. I know that already about Gordon.
I see all the examples of it.
But I think the important thing there was to leave it to the captain and tell him what he decided. How are you? What's your latest escapades in the Marine Corps? I
think the Vice President has
got his ticket for it last night.
Taken over for us.
Or something on the CBS.
No stands that I praise his hunger for.
I that's true. I didn't praise it.
You said it, that they didn't beat
I said that they program on CBS on hunger. And, yeah, I confirmed that in our respect to tolerance, I was in prison in the program. And we were American people with a problem on it. An occupy.
So that's a very scary week. You forgot to mention anything about his. We didn't sort of brush him aside. His Dominican Fed, whatever it was.
Asian Fest.
There was a lot stronger ground for the Vice President to attack that program on, but he had the effect of
where he made the attack.
Boston.
In the speech.
Who wrote it there?
I don't know, but it wasn't the best speech that he's given.
Were you there?
No, sir. No.
How did you hear about it?
I read it last evening.
Out of speech longer.
I haven't talked to anyone who was there, but I will this weekend.
Buchanan's written a speech, and somebody ought to give the next few days or so that builds on that. You're showing up on the hill of the CBS and NBC mill on models, and goes on, takes the press on how they've screwed up their coverage of the war, and does a lot of quoting from the columnists and all that. It's not well written. It's a terrible mess, which is surprising if you can. But some of the points in it ought to be made now.
He comes up with an injury. Maybe he hasn't. If he knows it, it's to be good.
Yeah, it's the first draft, I'm sure, where he just blurted out everything he wanted to get said.
Or I think we've gotten to the point with CBS where somebody has to draw some blood. And they're very
layered.
Well, it's taken on
the air.
Abair is going to have hearings. Hansen wrote a letter which was reported well in the wire services, although it didn't hit the Washington papers, demanding that they either show the films of the Simpson showing that went on the Hill or apologize for having questioned their veracity or report that they were dishonest, which kind of puts the burden on the films will be shown again next week at the Broadcasters Convention, which is stirred a great deal of interest. Be shown in the main ballroom where everybody convenes. The line has been drawn.
The affiliate owners have the broadcasters commission. That's great, because those are the ones that are running the networks anyway.
The affiliate boards are meeting. CBS is showing the Pentagon film once again this coming week, which is bound to precipitate a case before the FCC asking.
They've taken
now 3.5 hours of prime time to show one side of the controversial issue without giving the other side any time. So the Pentagon, I believe, will ask for time. We've suggested they do it.
That's under fairness, Doctor.
Right.
And we'll get a speedy administration on some Pentagon to it.
And the Armed Services Committee, how to go together on it. But the
I don't want the administration, I want the White House, you know.
And we should be.
We're miles away from the damn thing.
Well, the Vice President brought us to a degree very much into it. Why it was, on NBC this morning, they found great portions of it. They showed great portions of it.
But yeah, this Buchanan speech is NBC very hard. It's that one guy on NBC.
Brady,
yeah. That doesn't like it very well.
Well, the main thing is how it all comes out. As far as
anything that discredits the network is useful.
Because there'll be another issue next time.
Well, what we're trying to do, and I think it will have this effect, is to cause people to raise doubts in their own mind when they watch network news presentations. Is this side of the prison?
And if you have any glimmer of a question in your mind, and then look at it, boy, it's so slanted, they see it as soon as they get that doubt in their mind, they'll see that this is because it is.
On Howard Smith, I think I'm talking about, talking at all about his story.
Yes, sir.
Well, I think it's, since you're probably closer to it than anybody else, Poe, you do see, you could say that the first of all, and the ESP, he's obviously the, he can ask anything he wants. He can ask him any order he wants. In other words, it's entirely up to him to arrange the program. I want to feel free to press on any particular subject that I will naturally be, I will have to be restrained and continue on like a current negotiation, in a place like the Mideast or something like that. I will say so and say why, but he should press me on all those subjects, any subject he wants, whatever he thinks. And also, the greatest interest actually will be in Southeast Asia by so many of the samples for some half this time. But in any event, you feel free to cover anything in the whole world. Anything he wants, domestic or and so forth.
Generally, before it was scheduled, this is consistent with his view. But I think he'll be very generally,
but he must press.
He'll press.
And I expect him to. I will not embarrass him. I mean, if he does press, I can make a guy look bad and press his heart. But I don't. He'll be generally. But I don't want anybody after the program to say it was a patsy. They won't. Plenty of news in it. He's intelligent too. He knows how to answer questions.
I think you might want to talk about the members on the stop when Henry comes in. We've got to figure out how our big problem with this is Henry. I think
program scaling
is the question of scaling.
Well, I think there too, you've got to agree with this. question to us, how it's worked out in terms of the whole Ziegler operation.
Well, we talked quite a bit with Ron about it, and
Ozzy did.
Concerned about exactly how it fits, but I think...
But you see, he's pointing that I have no doubt at all about who's the press secretary. He's the press secretary. He's the briefer. He's in charge of that.
Chuck, you might just recap briefly here.
All right, I think more importantly, Mr. President, is that Scali doesn't want to fill that role. Scali doesn't think he should fill that role.
That's right.
Scali is a very, very thoughtful guy with an exceedingly good analytical mind. You know, I've got two long sessions together. First of all, he's completely dedicated to you and your foreign policy. He's a Democrat, but he's been giving speeches for 2.5 years. That I happen to be one of the media representatives in Washington who don't share the view that the election of Richard Nixon was a disaster. In fact, it probably stands between us falling into the depths of neo-isolationism, a phrase he's been using for 2 years. He would make a substantial financial sacrifice. It would be, you know, a very difficult thing for him to do. It. He feels there's an urgent need for this administration to do it. He feels that, he feels that he can make a contribution of principle, Mr. President, in terms of helping us avoid the pitfalls and how we communicate our foreign policy. Maintained over the years a very close personal relationship with Hankin and McCloskey, the State Department of Defense. They respect him. He can work with them, which has been a problem, as you know. He basically would like to help us as his friends, guiding us communications-wise in foreign policy area. His mind works very fast. His mind, I think, works, at least in the discussions that I had, was very, very perceptive. He was a lot deeper guy than I had suspected. Howard K. Smith, with whom I discussed the possibility, thought that Scali accepted the fact that he's known to be finally in from ABC, would be an ideal fellow to help us and could help.
Well, that's an exception that you have to not worry about.
Yes, I know. Smith should not hesitate to raise such questions as, if he wants. I don't think the speaker interested in this from him, because it may be embarrassing to him. I'm not going to kick the media out of the Congress program. But if he wants to raise a hold of this spot, has the press been fair, the image business, all that crap? No, not to hesitate to hit some of the things like that that people are interested in. So, I don't want him, what I think he might otherwise do, Chuck, is to just get in the usual kind of questions that you've got to take. Press conference, in other words, it's sort of the, well, it ain't. Not the press conference, there's a press conference, there's a lot of just silence. He may be too dull and too routine. He's got a whole staff. But it's up to him. He's got to do it. I will not.
He'll start out by talking about the powers of the president's constitutional relationship with the Congress, the handling of foreign policy, that's his biggest interest. Sure, they will get it out of you.
Yeah.
Just kind of develop the people in here.
Well, we'll liven it up a little if I can get a little to any extent that I can get some indication of those lines. I'll try to figure out some things that may
be sure Buchanan knows.
Yeah. Buchanan is a little, I think what we better set is to set 1 o'clock tomorrow.
I've already said 8 o'clock tonight.
Sorry.
You'll have somebody to give you another shot tomorrow.
I'll see what I'm going to work on Sunday to get the ideas. We've got to keep what we hear since like he did before. He just goes back and picks up the lines and spins it. That's what he's working on. And then to come back, now the questions that are likely to come up from you in the present circumstances and so forth.
That's why I know what he talks about that. Would want to help us in dealing
affirmative way with the people in the media in Washington and elsewhere who he believes, from many years of experience dealing with them, help influence other people's stories. They aren't the obvious ones necessarily. Of course, they will be obvious ones. You can talk to the chancellor, it might help, it might not. His theory, right or wrong, is that there are half a dozen people who really, in the media here, mold the thinking which then a chancellor who is a lightweight and scale his book and picks up, simply pick up in those lives we talk about. Actually, in some cases, the less obvious people, he has a very close relationship with them, agree or disagree on foreign policy. They can communicate easily. He has a very finely tuned sense, in my opinion, of what it is, of how the media will react to what it is we do and say. It's easy for him to give me a lot of examples of this because they're all in hindsight. I haven't been. Guy is bright enough to see them ahead of time. He at least would be in a position to point out to us when we're going to do something, that the pitfalls of doing it one way against the pitfalls of another way, and the advantages of one way against the advantages of another. As I say, his mind works very analytically. He starts with a problem and talks about here are the elements of it, and therefore you cannot hear it. He started out not being. I started out being very taken aback when I first took kind of stunned by the whole thing. And so at the end of it, an hour and a half, he said, I don't want to sound corny, but he said, this will sound corny, but it's probably madness for me to think about this because I still think about it. You can see that I think my career will be different afterwards. But he said, I just think I'm a patriot, and I would kind of like to serve my country. I'd like to do it, but I'd like to make a change.
And that gets to the Ron, I guess, shares my view that the real problem is with him.
that if you can set up the working relationship with Henry and Henry's crew, so that, for instance, I feel very strongly that if he has come here, that he should sit in the WhatsApp meetings. In other words, that's the decision's taken, and those are the special action groups that implement. He should sit in every one of those goddamn meetings, and he should speak up in those meetings as a part of the implementation unit. And he should say, we shouldn't allow any press to go into Laos, or we should allow the press to go into Laos from the beginning, or we should keep an embargo on, or we shouldn't have an embargo on. And look at it that way. Now, he may have to be overruled militarily or diplomatically, but his input ought to be considered in terms, because that's more important, really, than either the military or the diplomat. It's what the people think, and that's where we blow most of what we plan. And it's inevitable when you've got Alex Johnson, Henry Kissinger, David Packard, and Tom Moore sitting down there deciding how to put out the public information. And they do not listen to Ziegler and Anger as equals. Scally has got to be, in my view, has got to be a member of WhatsApp. He's got to be put in there on a par with the undersecretary. And he's got to, in effect, be our undersecretary for communication in that area.
I agree. Well, he's been on the receiving end of this so long, and on the mixing with the people in the business, so he knows how to smell that. But he knows, he will tell you on anything we do exactly what the TV people and the foreign policy press community are going to, how they're going to react. I made a point to him, we may not always be able to follow your advice. And he said, that's not a problem. He said, I would view my role as principally telling you where the problems are and where the critics.
Better yet, how best to handle it.
And how best to put the truth.
Then you may have to compromise that, but at least you start with an understanding of what would be the best way to do it. Which is, in a sense, what I was trying to do in those Western meetings, but it would be infinitely better to have a guy like Scally in a second.
One of the things that should be kept in mind is he left my office yesterday. He was very turned down. He had the American flag flying Stars and Stripes are flying. I would hate it, Jake, like hell to see us strike because this guy has serious problems financially and personally. And if he begins thinking about those too long, he wrestled with this thing for a week. And
okay, well, why don't you talk to you and Chuck talk to Henry about it? What do you want to do?
I want to think how we do it. Because I want to sell it so that it's positive with Henry, so that he wants it. Because Henry, as you know, is one of the world's greatest obstructionists if he wants to obstruct.
Just desperate to be with
Scally made the point to me. He said, I was very impressed with the six questions he came back to me with, because it demonstrated to me that he had really thought it through. And the sixth question was, will Henry Kissinger regard this as a barrier being created between him and the press? Because he said, if so, it'll never work. Because the thing which Henry treasures most is his access and his communication with the press. And he said, that happens to be disastrous 90% of the time. And he said, it ought to be. He said, I'd like to help him.
He said, Henry's communication with the press is disastrous.
He was overstating. He said that Henry.
Remember, Bob, I've said this on several occasions. And Robinson understood this either. He said, I said, how the briefing goes. Well, he doesn't quite catch it.
Henry tells him. Educates them instead of telling him what we wanted to know.
Yeah. And Scally makes the point which you made so many times about, that there are usually just two or three salient things that you want to get across. And there's a way to get those across. He feels he could help Henry enormously if Henry wanted to help, if Henry used it as a wall between the press and Henry.
And I would love Henry in turn here to do it. For him to get across his himself. That is, you know what I mean?
See, Henry's immediate move would be, that's fine. And he should be, signed to my office and be under me. That's you can't do that.
Oh, no, I want him. No, the president wants him also for domestic policy.
There's another way to play it, too, that
can't be helpful.
Well, I might as well. And just tell him that. See, that he's saying he should be helping us against you.
In, extremely helpful, because he has the new sense, even though his own intellectual depth is not that well.
There's a war.
Johnson at that point had so lost his class in the public family affairs, just couldn't think that. Totally different, no parallel with the person they had all. The family side, Mr. President, helps with the...
I'm surprised that he's given you the figures, the telehandling over here, that's not kind of good.
Now, you want to figure out how to talk to Henry, you want me to talk, I don't want to get into it.
I didn't, I believe you, I mean, I didn't, I'm scouting fast.